Are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, body, spirit, community, economy, all six areas of the healthful living model. And you can read more about that at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and healthful living advocate with Healthful Living, and I'm here today in the studio with my co-host
Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant.
Reality Sandwich is back live here at 89.5. We're back after a several-week hiatus. We have been out and about traveling halfway around the world to Australia, where Julie was giving presentations there with her Nourishing Hope for Autism work, and then also in Chicago at the Autism One Conference, and just really getting all around sharing Julie's work with autism. And Healthful Living and Julie and I are both really excited to, for the first time, publicly announce today we've just earned an award, and we're very delighted to hear about it. The Independent Publisher Awards, which come out of New York City, for outstanding work in independent publishing. And Julie's book, Nourishing Hope for Autism, has been awarded the a Gold Medal Award for Outstanding Book of the Year for the Most Progressive Health Book of 2009.
Yes, we're very, very, very excited about that. We just found that out while we were away on our trip.
And it's just, it's outstanding to receive public recognition for your work. I mean, Nourishing Hope for Autism is out there, and parents are learning about this. You've been presenting out there in a number of leading autism conferences, that the opportunity that exists for people to promote healing for children with autism and many others through dietary and nutritional interventions.
Absolutely. We're very excited about it all. And yeah, we had a great time and met so many wonderful people while we were out traveling. And so this award is just icing on the cake, and we're very excited about it.
So we'll be getting out some more announcements about that and about the book and Julie's Cooking to Heal programs and all the different work with nutrition and dietary interventions for autism. You can read more about that at nourishinghope.com in the coming days and weeks, and get snippets of Julie's presentations there as well. It was a delight to be in Australia, where folks down there seem to be a little more tuned into certain areas of their diet, and especially with respect to gluten-free foods and such.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you find Australia?
Well, the people were really very wonderful. Everything about it was, you know, the diversity of the landscape and people, and we had a really, really great time. So, it was really a great opportunity, and they have good access to grass-fed beef, and they have all sorts of wonderful foods down there. So it was a fruitful trip.
We got to spend an afternoon driving through the countryside and seeing just endless cows and sheep and a lot of grass-fed stuff going on down there. So they really seem to be quite tuned in.
That's right.
All right, well, we'll definitely cover more of that in coming shows, but we're able to have a really exciting guest on today, very apropos, because now it's kind of heading into summertime. When we left, it was late spring.
Well, I'm thinking of it as spring, since in my world, I just came back from winter in Australia, and now I'm back, and it feels like spring to me, but I suppose it's on its way to summer.
Right. So we do have a guest on today's show. Tell us about who's going to be joining us.
We're going to have Peggy Hall on today, and we're going to talk about all sorts of wonderful things, about things that people are interested in as the weather gets warmer and spring and summer roll around here, and things like just getting ready for any sort of spring-summer detox, and it's a wonderful time for fresh fruits and vegetables, and it seems a time where a lot of people sort of lighten up their diet with more nutritious, fresh foods. And so we'll be talking about food and food choices and the importance of eating and having a good attitude about eating and all of these great things that I think come along just perfectly at this time of the year, when it seems like everybody's kind of shedding the heaviness of winter and the probably some extra layers of clothes and
right,
so
right.
People feel often happier with the wonderful sunshine that's we've had more access to, and all sorts of great things that kind of come along with this. So we'll be talking to Peggy Hall. She's a leading authority on mind-body wellness. She's a certified yoga instructor, a personal trainer, a nutritional therapist, and a weight and lifestyle management consultant, and is a published author and sought-after speaker, and she can be heard weekly on the ABC Radio Network with her show Health and Wellness Clinic with Peggy Hall. It's syndicated in nearly 200 stations across the nation. She has done so many things, it's hard to even explain, go through them all, but she's a contributing editor and columnist for Clean Eating Magazine and a regular featured writer for Oxygen. She's appeared in all sorts of magazines, and boy, I could just go on and on. She has been received so many different awards, and so we are really excited to have her on. She's the best-selling author of the Yoga for Surfers series, which sounds really fun, and like I said, all sorts of amazing accolades. So we're really excited to have Peggy Hall on the line with us today. The Women's World Magazine called her America's ultimate wellness expert. So
quite apropos for our show and for folks here in San Francisco. We're always glad to hear practice tips from experts. So let's see if we can get her on the line.
Peggy, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, guys. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction.
Thanks for joining us, Peggy.
Thank you so much.
So I know that you've done, boy, a lot of things in your career here and focused on kind of many different areas of wellness, but I suppose in a way they're all related in terms of mind, body, and the importance of all of that to keep people healthy. It's certainly something that we talk about here at Healthful Living, and you get into many aspects of yoga, both in terms of the physical aspects of the different poses, but also the different Indian traditional concepts of other areas of, quote, yoga. People often think of it in terms of specifically the physical poses, but there's also other areas of wellness for yoga as well, correct?
That's right. Julie, yoga really is about awareness. I like to just define yoga in terms of A, B, C, and A means awareness. So awareness in what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're eating, who you are spending time with, basically awareness in your life. And the B is for breathing. So when you breathe consciously, you really bring yourself into the now, into the present moment. No matter what you're doing, whether you're doing a yoga class or washing the dishes or being on the radio show. And then C is for a sense of calm, and I like to also say cheerfulness. So No matter what you're engaged in, if you are aware and breathing consciously and finding that sense of calm and cheerfulness, really, you're doing yoga. So that can apply to all areas of your life.
Great. So in terms of today, we have so many different things that we can talk about, but I thought it would be fun to talk a little bit about the yoga of eating and awareness around eating, as well as things that people might be interested in since the summer's coming upon us. A lot of people are interested in, you know, some are interested in dieting, but, you know, dieting is I don't know, not my favorite term. I would prefer people having, like you said, more of an awareness around eating good food and being healthier, and ways that we can do that in a positive, calm, cheerful way, right?
That sounds excellent. Well, I'll tell you how I came upon this idea of the yoga of eating. And I'm with you, Julie. The word diet has such a negative connotation. But if you actually look at the root of the word, as you know, I mean, you're in nutrition, it actually just means really what it is you're eating. So you can have a healthy diet, an unhealthy diet. Mm-hmm. But in our society, the word diet is kind of a four-letter word. But when I'm using it, I really mean it in terms of just what the nutritional program is that you're following. But going back to the four-letter word of diet, I've been on every diet known to mankind, and I've always been interested in health and nutrition and wellness and fitness. I grew up as a competitive swimmer. And I never made the connection when I was younger between what I ate and how much energy I had. Because when you're, you know, 11 and 12 years old, you've got this limitless energy.
Right.
But then you hit 13, 14, and, you know, for girls, you start putting on weight because the hormones are changing. You know, for some of us will put on weight at those at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really started to restrict my calories, and I would look in the magazines to see what kind of diet I should be eating. And I really didn't have a clue. I only knew about restricting calories. So if I could eat 1,500 calories worth of chocolate cake and popcorn, you know, that's fine.
Right.
I didn't realize that the food had nutrients that was actually going to nourish and sustain me, especially for my, you know, several hour long swim workouts.
Wouldn't that be smart? That, I mean, I was a competitive runner. Wouldn't it have, and I did a little swimming, although I was never very good at it. But I remember swim meets, we would have like the most junk ever. It was all about getting sugar. So it was like Jell-O things.
You're
and
right. You're right.
Donuts. And it was just awful.
That's right. My husband still teases me to this day because my mom would go to a certain German store that had imported dextrose tablets. Well, of course, dextrose is sugar. And these were cocoa-flavored tablets of pure sugar that our coach asked us to eat before we would swim. And, of course, you're going to get the burst of energy, and then you're going to get the crash, and you're going to have bad moods and be cranky and have breakouts in your skin. And it really led me all, you know, at a young age to start to be fascinated by food and nutrition. And I did a lot of trial and error. And just fast forward a few years, when I was a young adult, I was going to move to Morocco to join the Peace Corps. And I always loved to travel, and I was fascinated by foreign countries. I was not afraid about living in a third world country or speaking Arabic. I was afraid they wouldn't have Diet Coke. I was afraid I wouldn't have my fat-free cottage cheese. And it's true, when I got there, there was no Diet Coke, there was no fat-free cottage cheese, there were none of those foods that I had relied on to keep my weight down. And I remember so clearly to this day, I mean, I struggled for the first few weeks trying to restrict my food. And Morocco is one of those countries where the culture is very hospitable. You're being invited to people's homes. And you can't, you know, say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't have any tea that has sugar in it.
Right.
So I literally threw up the white flag of surrender. And I consciously said to myself, I've got to stop struggling. I am no longer going to diet. I'm going to eat what I want. And if I gain 100 pounds, so be it. I'm just going to be in the Peace Corps for a few years. I'll come back to the United States. I'll go on the strict diet, and I'll take care of my weight then. But I'm not going to put myself through this struggle. It was just horrible. You know, mentally and emotionally, I was anguished, and I was I would prevent myself from going in with these gatherings with people because I was afraid of what I was going to eat or not going to eat. And it's sad to say a lot of people still live their lives this way. It's understandable. But here's what happened to me. Not only did I give up the dieting, I gave up the guilt. I gave up the negative self-talk. And the amazing thing is, without even trying, I gave up the excess weight. My pants started getting looser within a few days.
Wow.
And what happened is I allowed myself to eat what I would call like a normal person. In other words, I had breakfast was a baguette. You know, they all have all the really good French food there, and the bakery items. I would have a baguette with eggs. I never used to eat breakfast. I would skip breakfast to try to save the calories. So I had breakfast, and then I would have lunch, and all of the food was healthy, natural, wholesome food. Yes, they had things like sweets, but they were all homemade, nothing in a package. Everything was fresh. You could even get homemade potato chips, but, you know, they were not fried in the trans fats, and they were not overly salted. But the amazing thing, Julie, I was eating what I wanted to, when I wanted to, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. I would go to friends' homes. I would have the tea and the cookies. this peace and calm and serenity that I experienced over no longer struggling with food was far more valuable to me than even the pounds lost. And I probably lost about 20 pounds. I didn't have a scale. I went by my clothing. And I think that also helped me that I wasn't a slave to the scale. And it was like a magical time for me. I also learned to revere food as a sacred source of life, to revere it rather than fear it. You know, in Morocco, the time that women, because mostly the women, it's a traditional society, and they're the ones who are preparing the meals, they're not complaining about it. In fact, they're being applauded for it. You know, a good cook and a home-cooked meal is like the best thing anyone could want. People felt sorry if they would see someone eating in a restaurant. They felt sorry for them. It's like, oh, how sad, they don't have a home-cooked meal. And you think of our culture, it used to be that way, and in some cases it still is, and my goal is to help promote this getting back to the natural, healthy, wholesome sources of food. People spent time eating their meals. There was no rushing. I never saw anybody eating on the street. You sat down, you took your time, you had your meal with a family or friends. You really made it an event.
Wow.
I think that was a huge turning point for me. And food was never thrown away. I mean, leftovers, you know, you didn't have food that was rotting in the fridge. Well, when I lived there, I didn't have a fridge, so I shopped every day, and I would, you know, buy my allotment of vegetables and fruit and so forth. But, you know, food, the leftovers were always given to those less fortunate. And if for some reason something would fall on the floor, like a piece of bread or whatever, it would be, you know, rescued and placed like in a place of honor, you know, for someone to come by and take it. So it was really an amazing experience. And I've lived in Europe since that time, and I've spoken to people from other countries that still have this tradition that food is a source of life, of nourishment, of sustenance, not something to be counted and measured and feared and reviled. Now, I'm sorry to say that when I came back to the United States, I kind of forgot that connection. And it's easy enough in this country, and I completely understand how, you know, so many of us have this struggle and this this ongoing battle with food. You know, we have different messages that were sent from the magazines. In one magazine, you've got all the exercises and the diets, and then they've got the back of the magazine is full of recipes for the double, triple chocolate decadence. So we're getting, you know, the mixed messages. So after a few years back in the States, and I discovered yoga thanks to my husband, who we were dating at the time. And I, as I mentioned, was a competitive swimmer, and I had very severe tendonitis. And I had gone through all sorts of therapy, and I had acupuncture, I had cortisone, I had everything, and it looked like I was going to have surgery. And my husband said, why don't you come with me to yoga and see if that helps? And I'm kind of rolling my eyes. You know, this was 10, 12 years ago. It was not that mainstream at the time, and the only yoga class was at a senior center. So went with him to the senior center and absolutely loved it. And as the weeks went on, my shoulder healed. But the other amazing things that started to happen in my life were around that sense of awareness, of staying calm, of being relaxed, and of just giving myself a break. Just a side note here, I'll digress and come back to the story, but the other thing that happened with yoga is my surfing improved dramatically. And I could not believe how much better I was in the water. And it was not only the strength and the flexibility and the balance, but it was that mental calm, the ability to focus. And as surfers, we've got to have all our wits about us when we're, you know, faced with these heavy conditions of the ocean. And I felt so much more at home, even though I was a swimmer all my life. I felt like I had elevated my relationship with nature, with the very, with creation itself. And I started looking around for a yoga DVD for surfing, and there weren't any, so that launched my other career, where I became a certified yoga instructor, and then along the way created this series of yoga DVDs specifically for surfers. And again, I struck a chord with thousands of people around the world who said, oh my gosh, I felt the same way. And again, this, we launched this program at the end of 2002. So again, yoga was just becoming a little more in the mainstream. You started to see it at the gyms and all. And I was trying to bring it to a larger audience that normally wouldn't have discovered it, mainly, you know, men that have been surfing for, you know, 20 years or so, and their backs are starting to go out. And I heard from so many women who said, oh my gosh, I could never get my husband to the yoga class, but now he can do the DVDs at home. So I just wanted to throw that out, because it, the yoga is all encompassing. It not only affected my surfing, my sense of calm, but again, coming full circle, it affected my relationship with food.
Wow. I got a question for you. So when you went to Morocco and you had these wonderful experiences, were you aware at the time that you gave up all of your restrictions and all of this, quote, dieting, and that you lost weight? Were you kind of aware?
Yes, I was aware, and I was amazed, and I wanted to stand up on the rooftops, which they have a lot there, and scream it out and say, and again, the Moroccans themselves didn't need to hear my message. They already had this, for most of them, this healthy relationship with food, but I felt like I had, I don't know, betrayed myself, or I had been blind, struggling against myself, fighting with myself. We need food to nourish our bodies.
Right.
You know, so to answer your question, Julie, I was aware of it. I was amazed. And as the days went by, I would even try to experiment a little bit, like, oh, well, I'm going to go have this piece of cake at the bakery because it looks really good and I deserve a treat, and I'm going to sit down with my cup of tea and I'm going to enjoy this piece of this, you know, French tart. And the change for me was that in the old days I would deprive myself, so when the time came I would buy every pastry in the case and eat them all at once. But what the change was is that I could enjoy one as an afternoon treat, enjoy it without the guilt, and then let it go, because I knew the following day I could choose another one or not, or maybe I didn't want one the following day. Maybe I wanted a different snack, or maybe I wanted something else. And it was an ongoing revelation. And I didn't realize it at the time, but it really was the yoga of eating. I just didn't have that name for it.
Right. So when you came back, you alluded to the fact that you forgot some things. Did you go back to the other way of eating, the processed foods, or was the pressure of normal society, did it creep back in?
I'm ashamed to admit that when I came back, I went to the grocery store and I bought a 12-pack of Diet Coke.
Oh, boy.
Because I had been missing it so much. In fact, once in a while I could get my hands on a Diet Coke. They were kind of like contraband coming in from Europe. And I could, you know, go to the American Embassy. They had a snack bar with French fries and grilled cheese sandwiches, and they had Diet Coke in a can. And they would only allow you to buy one, you know, because you were supposed to eat it there, and I would smuggle it out, and I would take it back to my little rural, you know, dwelling in the middle of the desert, and I would have it sitting there until, like, you know, for days. And then I would finally break into it. So it was like a backlash. But the amazing thing is that when I started going back to the food that I had missed, it didn't taste as good as I had remembered it. And some of that is the taste buds changing. A lot of what I believe is, so much of our food and memories is wrapped up in the memory and the emotion. And it wasn't that I really wanted the Diet Coke per se. I wanted the camaraderie of being at a picnic with my family where Diet Coke was being served. And if I really thought about it, I wanted the sense of freedom of, that's what I was after. And I think that's a really key point for a lot of us to remember. And it's okay to go have the Diet Coke, but allow yourself to enjoy the whole thing and say, gosh, this takes me back to when I used to be in college or what have you.
Right.
Instead of saying, what is wrong with me? I told myself I was going to get off these Cokes. Now, and see, that's where we get in that cycle of the negativity.
Right.
Notice what you're drinking and say, gosh, this carbonated beverage burns my throat and I get indigestion. That's where the yoga part comes in, which is the awareness. So what happened is, I came back, the years go by, I became certified as a yoga instructor, nutritionist, fascinated by the way food affects our body, our emotions, our thinking, our ideas, our vitality, our entire spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're bringing in the junk, your body does not have the building blocks to create health.
Right.
But there are many aspects to that. Yes, it's true. We need the fruits and vegetables and wholesome food, and I promote that. I think it's okay to have the treats when they're done mindfully, and that's the key, to not allow yourself to beat yourself up about it. And what happened for me is I started beating myself up. I should know better. I know this isn't good for me.
Mm.
I'm gaining weight. What's wrong with me? I'm going to restrict my calories more. I tell you, Julie, I was on a 1,250 calorie diet, which
wow.
is pretty limited, and I was gaining weight.
Wow.
I was gaining weight by eating tuna fish and celery sticks, and I went to the doctor because I couldn't believe it. And it turns out I did have a few hormonal issues that had to do with some of, you know, extreme dieting and birth control pills and other things. But anyhow, what my point is that I didn't like the tuna fish. I didn't like depriving myself.
Mm.
And even though I was taking in fewer calories, the negative emotions that I was sending to my body,
right.
they were overriding any potential benefit of the nourishing food.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know you believe this, and it bears, you know, getting the message out as much as possible. Enjoy what you eat. Choose the foods that you love. There are so many nourishing, healthy, wholesome foods to choose from. Take in those foods that again, when you practice the yoga of eating, which I can go into more detail, you'll naturally begin to select those foods that will nourish you, mind, body, and spirit.
Absolutely. And you know, what I found is that foods people think are, quote, bad are actually not bad. And sometimes the reason that we want them is because they're actually good and nourishing. So I think a perfect example of this is saturated fat. People always
mm-hmm.
try to restrict their consumption of lamb or beef or butter.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as I tell them what some of the good properties of those foods are, they get this sense of relief, and then they get this joy back of, you mean I can have eggs with breakfast, or I could even have bacon with breakfast? And then they're satisfied. They, you know, and it, like you said, it's sometimes, well, sometimes the things that are creating this negative feeling around it certainly are the depriving ourselves, but on some inner level, we do feel nourished by them. And then when we go against that because of all of these messages that society has told us that are actually old and incorrect,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, we're doing ourselves a disservice. So when we realize, oh, I feel like having, you know, whatever this thing is today, you know, this great grass-fed burger, instead of feeling guilty, we can enjoy it, we can get the good benefits from it, and we're avoiding all of those toxic thoughts and other concepts that...
So, absolutely. I am totally on the same page with you there, Julie. What I found, and that's such an interesting approach, and I highly recommend it, people have got to tune into what suits their needs. My sister and I, right, same parents, same DNA,
mm-hmm.
she naturally gravitates toward the fattier, saltier foods.
Mm-hmm.
She loves bacon. She will have a whole meal that is just steak. She will take a tiny piece of bread and slather it with butter. I'm the opposite. I go for the fruits, the vegetables, the grains, the breads, the sweets. And, you know, it is just within our makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that there's not a one-size-fits-all diet,
right.
but there is an overriding principle of tune into what your body needs. Notice how different foods make you feel.
Right.
Having said that I like breads and all, I get indigestion if I eat whole wheat bread. I just notice that.
Mm-hmm.
And whole wheat toast, I just notice that a little while after I eat it, I just don't digest it that well, even when I take digestive enzymes and probiotics mm-hmm. and the other things that I recommend. But I've noticed that rice bread goes down a lot more easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I made an adjustment, again, without negativity, without, you know, commentary, without any judgment or opinion. It was just an observation.
Mm-hmm.
And So that is what I highly encourage people to do. And in fact, I've got the whole Yoga of Eating program is at my website, peggyhall.com, and folks can just sign up and they will get the complete blow by blow of how I recommend, you know, washing your hands before you eat and taking your breaths, and it will take you step by step, and that way you can follow this yoga of eating, which is really the act of mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hear about that all the time, eat mindfully. Well, what does that really mean? I've got step by step on how to do that.
Great.
Peggy, this is Martin here.
Yes, Martin.
Hey there. So I'm loving this discussion, and I'm hearing that quite often people, just like you guys were just saying, sometimes they just get the data about the food, and it helps them to relax a bit about,
yes,
you know, interacting with it. They'll say to themselves, you know, I always felt that the full-fat milk made more sense to me.
Absolutely.
And it felt great for my body, and that tuning
I
into one's...
I loved it. It was delicious.
Yeah, yeah. And that there's very much, you know, a moving towards having more of a loving appreciation with our foods and as we consume things, because then our body receives it so much more harmoniously and we digest more harmoniously and all those different aspects. I'd love for you to speak a little bit more. I know you mentioned you have a few steps in there, so perhaps you can touch a little bit more on the, as you mentioned earlier, the letting go piece. It's letting go of those incessant thoughts that come up automatically,
right,
when we do reach for something yummy. You know, I know that we're moving towards the being able to go into the store, that lovely bakery or whatever it is, and
mm-hmm,
say, you know what,
mm-hmm,
today I'm going to get this treat and I'm going to feel great about it because blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to maybe reaching that point, you know, we're still stuck in the, oh my God, I'm eating something now, and, you know, and all those stressful thoughts that are so inhibitive. How do we learn to let go of this stuff that's holding us back in our minds?
Oh, I love that question, Martin. Let me give you the three simple steps. And I think what happens with a lot of people, as we spoke earlier, there's a lot of emotional stuff that's wrapped up with food. And so a lot of the times we tend to want these, what we'll call treats or the, you know, forbidden goodies, when we're in a state of emotional upset or boredom or depression or anger or frustration. And I think a lot of us tend to turn to these foods in those times. So let me give you a quick three steps here. The first thing I recommend folks to do is to name and claim. And that means name what emotion you're feeling right now. Maybe you feel like, I deserve a treat. I feel I've been working so hard, and I want a break, and I want to have this as a treat. Or maybe you're feeling angry or depressed, and I want you to claim that feeling. Allow yourself. It's valid. In our society, especially with men, are told you shouldn't feel that way. Well, and women, too. What's wrong with you? Get over it. You know, don't let the emotions get the better of you. Well, just those emotions are there for a reason. And if we don't allow them to move through us, they're going to keep circling back and building up momentum. And then pretty soon, it's like a blowout. So name and claim. Name what's going on. Claim your emotion. Allow it to move through you. And the second part is what I call cruise and choose. And cruise means take your time to figure out what it is you really need to feel better at this moment. And in many cases, it will be that food that we're after. Maybe we want that double latte because it's going to be warm and yummy and we get to sit in the coffee shop and warm our hands around the cup. But when you're thinking about what is going to make me feel better, maybe that is going to do it. Maybe calling somebody on the phone is going to do it. Maybe going out for a walk is going to do it. Maybe punching your pillow or writing in a journal is really going to do the trick. But if you've decided that yummy, you know, BLT or hamburger or cheesecake or whatever it is that you would like, you really want to eat it, that's where I come to the third step, which is eat and enjoy. And by eat, I mean eat. Don't inhale it. Don't distract yourself. What happens is we'll plop down with the bag of chips or the bag of M&Ms or the piece of cake, and we'll sit in front of the computer, or we'll have it in the car, or we'll be in front of the TV, and our brain cannot take in all of that experience at the same time. So part of the mindful eating is to be present with your food, I like to put the food out on a favorite plate because it adds to the enjoyment. I treat myself visually. So I look at the food and I say, oh my gosh, this looks so good. I love this. I smell the food. I notice the texture, the aroma, the temperature. I'm even repeating things in my mind. Oh my gosh, this looks so delicious. This is just what I wanted to have. And then I take a bite. And I set down the utensil. And if you're having something that can be picked up with your fingers, all the much better. Because that is like a symbol of the union that is yoga. Touching the fingers to the food will give you even a more sensual experience, which is more satisfying. You take that bite, close your eyes, notice again all of the flavors, the textures, the sensation. For some of us, that bite, and if we focus on it, we may notice, oh my gosh, this doesn't taste as good as I thought it was going to. Maybe you wanted to try out a new flavor of ice cream or a new type of chocolate bar, and you take a bite, and it doesn't do the trick. Well, what most of us do is we keep taking more and more bites, thinking that the flavor is going to change. And instead, you know, let it go. Choose something that is really going to satisfy you. Mm. And if indeed you took a bite of this, and this is the most delicious thing that you wanted, allow yourself to enjoy it. Before you take your next bite, chew the food very, very well, so that it becomes like liquid in your mouth, and then you can digest it more easily. You'll also release more flavor, so your brain will be satisfied. And here's one of my tricks. Before you take your next bite, clear your mouth with your tongue. You know how you do at the end of the meal? It's the last bite of the meal, and you're kind of savoring and, you know, mwah, 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 clearing your mouth. Do that before you take your next bite. So many of us do not even finish swallowing before the next bite is in our mouth, and we wonder why we want seconds and thirds.
Hmm.
But the key to all of this is while you're eating, you need to consciously send positive messages to yourself, such as, this is so delicious, it's exactly what I wanted, I deserve it, this tastes fabulous.
Hmm.
If you cannot enjoy the food, there's no sense in eating it. And I've learned that the hard way. I used to, buy a little treat to eat in the car on the way home from the grocery store. And I didn't even like eating in the car. I mean, my fingers would get sticky. I'd be distracted. I couldn't really enjoy it because I was trying to focus on driving. And I finally realized I wasn't even enjoying the food, mm-hmm. you know. Just sit in the parking lot and eat it if you have to,
right.
for goodness sake.
Right.
But allow yourself the time to truly enjoy it. Now, as I mentioned, this is an ongoing practice. So it may be that it feels awkward or artificial the first several times you do it. That's perfect. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing it. I promise you will get into the swing of it. The other thing, Martin, to add to the yoga of eating, before you eat anything, excuse me, wash your hands. And as you're washing your hands, take a few breaths. Calm yourself, ground yourself, prepare yourself for the sacred act of eating. When you wash your hands, you are creating a line in your mind's eye of what you were doing before and what you're about to do next, which is nourish yourself, whether it's spiritually or emotionally or physically. And then when you're done eating, well, before you eat and you're washing your hands, I also recommend giving a prayer of gratitude. So you're thanking that food for offering its life for you. I mean, even a carrot is alive, right?
Right,
and certainly for animal foods, these animals sacrifice their life so that we can sustain ours.
Mm-hmm.
And the native traditions always blessed the animals before they were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you honor that animal, you bless the person who provided that food, you bless the farmers who grew it, you bless the cashier who checked out your food at the grocery store. And this is going to bring you into this frame of mind of yoga, which simply means union, harmony, freedom, connection. Mm-hmm. So you're connecting with this life around you. And then the other thing is, when you're done eating, again, give thanks. Say to yourself, oh my gosh, this treat is going to give me energy now that I can finish the rest of my day, or this helped me clear my mind or gave me the break that I needed, or it brought me back to, you know, grandma's kitchen. And you give that thanks of gratitude at the end of your eating, and then you wash your hands again. And I learned that in Morocco. They wash the hands before the meal and after the meal because they eat with their hands. So obviously, but that signals to your brain that the act of eating is now done, and it's a lot easier, so you won't be going back to the bag for seconds and thirds.
Right, right. Wow. For people that are just tuning in with us, you are listening to KPOO San Francisco. It's Julian Martin Matthews here on Reality Sandwich, and we are speaking with Peggy Hall, and you can find out more information about her at peggyhall.com. So this is great, you know, really good information. I like how it's kind of a combination of, East meets West and, things that you've learned along your journey. And it sounds like there's a lot of traditional ideas in here that I always find so full of wisdom and.
And so much of this, it sounds to me like, you know, when you're becoming aware, you can take in so much data, so much information, and even just in a split second, you know, I'm hearing you say, you know, stop for a moment to have appreciation for it. I mean, all these things can, once we stop, breathe, become aware for a moment, can pass through our mind and our intention in a matter, you know, a split second. It's just teaching ourselves and remembering to do it and engage that seems so, so paramount.
That's right, Martin. That's why I say it's a practice, and it parallels the physical practice of yoga. Yoga, it's not like you're trying to get a black belt in karate and then you don't have, you're trying to achieve some pinnacle of perfection and then you've reached it. It's an ongoing day in, day out, just like we brush our teeth and wash our hair. We practice mindfulness, and the more you do it, the more natural and effortless and automatic it becomes. But I really recommend that folks are patient, that they're caring, that they're compassionate with themselves, and that's really what yoga teaches.
Is there anything in our last five minutes or so that we can talk about in terms of, you know, people have now heard all of these great ideas in terms of just what you do eat and how you can kind of make the best of your choices and, all of those wonderful concepts about the yoga of eating. For people, we've kind of alluded briefly to spring cleaning and detox and
Words of wisdom.
Yeah, realistic principles in terms of, I think probably goes along with we're not going to starve ourselves and deprive ourselves. But if people are looking for ways of, what are some really sensible things that people can do if they wanted to do a little bit of a detox?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that, Julie. I'm a huge fan of detoxing. I have been doing it for the last several years, and I created my own 3-day detox based on all of the various programs that I've experimented with. I've done the starving. I've done the master cleanse where you're just on lemon juice and cayenne pepper and maple syrup. I don't recommend it. You can have better results when you nourish yourself with healthy, wholesome foods that are free of common allergens like wheat, corn, dairy. Those are just a few. Mm-hmm. But I've created this 3-day detox diet where folks are doing their spring cleaning in 3 days. It's doable. You're not starving yourself. You are getting rid of helping your body get rid of toxic debris. And on the peggyhall.com website, you'll see there's you can actually go there and see the 3-day detox. And I've got the 10 detox mistakes. So you can get a free report. Some of those mistakes that people make are starving themselves. You want to make sure that you don't go into this very rigorous detoxing mode if you've never done any kind of cleansing or fasting before. It can be very harmful to your body. You'll feel a lot of discomfort and you may not want to continue. The other problem is people think, well, I'm going to detox tomorrow, so I'm going to eat everything in sight tonight. It's that Last Supper mentality, which again is going to be more harmful. You know, just eat, again, according to your intuition, as we've been speaking about. Another mistake folks make when they're done detoxing is they go back, like I did when I came back from Morocco, and I wanted to eat everything I had been avoiding all along. You want to make sure that you ease into the detox, that you follow a program that's proven, and that you ease out of the detox. And you want to detox your mind and spirit, too. I recommend avoiding the news, heated conversations, stay away from, you know, the magazines and so forth. Just nourish yourself. Read some uplifting literature, inspiring, listen to inspiring music, and allow yourself to have a true cleanse inside and out.
That sounds great. Well, you know, it's been great having you on the show today. It's been a lot of fun. Any kind of last, I mean, you do so much with wellness and all sorts of concepts and different areas. I'm wondering if you have any last thoughts for us before we go of, ideas for people, tips for people. I'm sure you must.
Well, you know, thanks so much for asking. Again, so much of wellness, it's not just the absence of being sick. Wellness is really feeling vibrantly alive. It's feeling excited about waking up in the morning. It's feeling that you are connected to your true path in life so you can live your life as a reflection, really as an expression of your soul. And the more you dabble in the yoga of eating, the more you become mindful and aware about what you're putting into your body, the more naturally, automatically, and effortlessly you will seek out these wholesome, natural, healthy foods. Trust yourself, trust your body, trust life, and if you would like to by any means, you know, follow up to get ideas on the detoxing or the yoga of eating. All is at peggyhall.com, so hope to connect with some of the audience in that way.
Wonderful. Well, Peggy, thank you so much for being on today.
Thanks,
really a pleasure to have you.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Well, we have been speaking with Peggy Hall, and you can get more information at Peggy, P-E-G-G-Y, Hall, H-A-D. LL and peggyhall.com.
Makes total sense to me. I mean, the yoga of eating, anytime we can get more presence, more consciousness, more awareness about the things that we're doing really in any part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly with respect to eating, I mean, could there be an area where we typically as humans engage in something really important unconsciously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Many of us are just not paying attention to all when we're cramming things in or consuming, and hence, you know, their effect so much on people's health. So anytime that we can really stop and regain a present consciousness about that, I mean, it's something that people have such a difficult time shifting, and I think engaging in a bit more holistic mind-centered approach is a way to go. What do you think?
I think that's great. I'm still focused on your health's word.
Health.
I'm wondering if health plural is a word. It doesn't quite work.
Well, you've said for so long, and we all know that just dieting, going into a putting pressure on oneself to make a really important change in a restrictive, regimented, painful kind of a way, has never proven to be successful.
Well, to me, you wouldn't make make a choice that was.
But that's typically what people do.
I
need to go on a diet, and there's all this restriction and constriction and inhibition.
Well, that's why diets don't work.
That's why they don't work.
There's many, many, many reasons. That could be an entire show on why diets don't work. But yeah, absolutely. So I'm so glad we had Peggy on today, who brought a lot of those great concepts of awareness and eating into the conversation about, I think, what a lot of people know to begin with anyway, which is just doing things that feel right, feel good. You know, people understand, I think, what common sense good nutrition is, and there's a way to do it and enjoy it. And my favorite thing, when she was talking about notice how it smells, and my favorite thing about healthy food is what is the colors. You know, the color of beets and the color of red peppers and all of the different incredible colors that are on your plate versus when you eat processed food, which is all sort of blended into a beige, gray, white, yellow color.
Right. Or colored artificially, which
doesn't
even look appealing. Really.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Outstanding.
Well, we're glad to be back here and back on KPOO and our show Reality Sandwich. And you've been speaking with Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant, and my
Martin
co-host.
Matthews, certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and advocate for healthful living. And it's always a delight to connect here on KPOO and share insights with experts and amongst ourselves and you as listeners to, you know, what are we learning about the nature of our collective human experience today? You know, we're all going through a lot of change, but we're all trying to learn from our past and take in what we can to apply it to our present.
If people are looking for more information, they can find out information from us at healthfulliving.org. And if you want any information on my work for autism, you can go to nourishinghope.com and you can get all of that wonderful information there. For people looking for this show and any past shows, you can find us at any of our radio programs, including realitysandwichradio.com. So lots of ways to get this show on recording for your family and friends that may have missed it, or if you want to hear these concepts again, and all sorts of just good information on staying healthy and happy in this year 2009. So thanks for listening. Remember, all change begins with you.
We'll be back next week.